Good morning. I invite everyone to come in and have a seat so that we can start worship service. I welcome everyone on this beautiful May morning to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church. All is good in God's world this morning. Kelly Spicer said exactly what I wanted to say last Sunday. I have a renewed faith in you, in our world and in our church after last Sunday. Life is going to be good. I think I see so much day-to-day turmoil in an inner-city school that I look on the dark side too much, and I am pleasantly refreshed. And I thank all of the young people for last Sunday. Do we have any business for this morning? Anyway, we all know each other then. Very good. Have the registration passed out? Everyone is sure and register is fine. Their names and everything that needs to be put with your name this morning. Announce? Yes. Have any other in
there.
prayers for this morning. Yes.
Thank you.
preparing our hearts for worshiping God. I am the good shepherd, says the Lord. I know my own, and my own know me. My sheep hear my voice, says the Lord. I know them, and they follow me. Oh, come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For the Lord is our God.
We are the Lord's people, the flock that God shepherds.
Hymn 64, all creatures of our God and King.
praise you. But we, O Lord, realize that we are only a small portion of your creation. You called upon all creation to praise you. We read in your word where there will be a time when all creation is around your throne, or all aspects of creation are around your throne, offering praise and glory to you. So if we have come this day, Lord, we pray that you will enable us to do that which would bring glory to you, Lord. Use us to glorify you, to offer praise and adoration and expressions of thanksgiving. Father, help us to come as your humble servants, standing before you or sitting before you and seeking your blessing, but trying to be a blessing to you. We know as you so bless us, that we'll be able to bless others, but we'll also be able to bless you and bring a smile to your face. Thank you for this time together. These who have gathered, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can bring our hurts and pains and concerns and our joys before you. You hear and you care. And you respond in a way that would be good for us and would bring honor and glory to you. Bless every aspect of this service. And now, Lord, we pray for your leadership as we pray that prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Please remain standing. We express our faith through the reciting of the Apostles' Creed, and that will be followed by an expression of praise to the glory of God.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
We confess that we remain captive to doubt and fear.
ways that lead to death.
We overlook the poor and the hungry,
passed out by those who mourn.
We are deaf to the cries of the oppressed,
and indifferent to calls for peace.
We despise the weak and abuse the earth you made.
Forgive us, God of mercy.
Help us to trust your power to change our lives and make us new,
that we may know the joy of life abundant,
given in Jesus Christ, the risen Lord.
Amen. And we are given that assurance of forgiveness from Psalm 32. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin.
Turn to Heavenly Father, real pleased to have 352. Let's sing 1 and 4. A Child of the King. Reproduce her children's stories some way, but we can't hear them all. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. be called Calvary, then he made the sea that would grow to be horns that would make his son bleed. And he made a green stem, gave it leaves, and then gave it sunshine and rain, and sheltered it with moss. He grew the tree that he knew would be used to make the old rugged cross. Nothing took his life, with love he gave it. He was crucified on a tree that he created, with great love for man. God stayed with his plan. He grew the tree so that we might go free. With tears in his eyes, God looked down through time, saw him spat upon, rejected and mocked. Oh, but still he grew the tree that he knew would be used to make the old rugged cross. Nothing took his life, with love he gave it. He was crucified on a tree that he created, with great love for man. God stayed with his plan. He grew the tree so that we might go free. He grew the tree that he knew would be used to make the old rugged cross.
And I could hear this at home. Is it in here? Come on, children. Time for your children to cry. Papa?
That's what she called Larry, was Papa. And there was a lot of a little bit of a question mark there. Papa? And when I walked in, she was like, you know, it was like, oh, because she can't say Grandma yet. She knows who Grandma is, but she points at Grandma, but she can't say that yet. But that made me think about how we need to call on our Lord and Savior. We need to remember, and we need to not call on Him last. We need to always call on Him first, all the way through our life. Right now in your life, you're beginning to form a lot of habits. And one of the habits that you will never outgrow, once you give it, is trusting in your Lord and Savior. You may forget sometimes to call on Him, but you'll eventually remember when the things kind of get going tough, you'll be like, why am I not talking to the Lord? Why am I not sharing this with the Lord? Why am I not giving this over to the Lord? So I want you to remember that. Next time you listen, you're calling to all your friends, and that's okay too. You want to talk to your friends that know the Lord and can help you too. But don't forget to call on your Heavenly Father. So you remember that when little Miss Kathleen says, Mama, Daddy, Papa? But let's don't do it with a question mark. Let's say, Jesus, help me.
Thank you. words of the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. He says, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. So he had already passed this on to the Corinthians, but he needed to repeat it. That the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The active elders will come forward and assist. And Jim and Paul and Karen, I think three more inactive. John, if you'll come and assist. And maybe Gary. And Larry, will you come and assist? We invite these to come and serve you. Who are they to serve? Or who is welcome to eat from the table of the Lord? This is the table of the Lord. It is for those who are trusting in the Lord, or those within whom the Lord has been invited to dwell and live. Christians, believers, people who are trusting in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. So that's why he died. To pay for our sins. And we're trusting in that act upon the cross, that experience upon the cross. He's giving his life. But he didn't stay dead. He came to life. God raised him up on the third day. A living God. And we remember not only that he came and lived and died for us, was raised up, ascended to heaven, but he promised to come again. Take us that where we are, there, where he is, there we may be also. But if we wait, we do anticipate his return to place. We do have faith in him, faith in Jesus. We're invited to eat and drink from his table. Let's offer thanks. Lord God, you have done such a great thing for us. And Lord God, you have given us a way to remember. But Lord, you also have given us a way to experience you. Lord, we realize and we proclaim that these elements never become anything different than they are. But the meaning behind them, the broken body of Jesus behind the broken bread. Lord, we thank you for that. And we experience Jesus anew. As we partake, as we experience the bread being broken in our mouth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving your body for us. And for the cup, O Lord, we just praise your name for that shed blood that this cup represents. That Jesus was willing to give his blood, that you were willing to allow him to permit him to care that much for us, for our redemption, that we might be forgiven our sin and have an eternity with you in heaven. So bless this cup, Lord, that we might experience Jesus' shed blood washing our lives clean as we partake this day. In his name, that name of Jesus, we offer our prayer of thanks. Amen. Body of Christ broken for me. And for you, Gary. And pass it to Paul. Right down the line. The blood of Christ. Shed for me. And for you, Gary.
Life after life, story after story, all changed by the grace and mercy. gathered his disciples close to him and told them, I must go away, but I am making a new covenant with you this night. This bread that I give is my body, and the cup I offer is my blood. I give these for the life of the world. Always remember, my body is broken for your healing. My blood is poured out for your forgiveness. So as he celebrated that last Passover with his friends, it became the first act of Holy Communion, a celebration of new and unending life in Christ Jesus, the Lord.
He took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said,
the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of your sins. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim my death until I come again.
This cup is my love, it's mine. You in remembrance of you. As I will be broken, so break the bread with you. This cup is a token of the blood I give. I have fought with you, fought with you, a new love, a new covenant. I will not
again, O God, we offer our church in Christ's name.
Our scripture selection today, our scripture lesson, is a very familiar passage from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give drink without cost from the spring of the water of life." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brother Lane.
Well, that's a passage about... Would y'all like to go down?
If they're going down, let me just say, that's a passage about heaven. Passage about heaven. When have you heard a sermon about heaven? From this pulpit? I can't remember preaching many, if any, in a long time at least. But let's think about heaven. I think all of us want to go. The problem is that we're kind of worried about when the bus is going to leave. We're not ready to get on it yet. Or that Sam tells that story quite often. The purpose of this sermon today is to call your attention to the experience of heaven and invite people to prepare to go there if they're not prepared. If they are prepared, just to say amen and little shouting that we are ready to go. Some of us are country music fans and others can't stand it. Even people in Nashville, I hear, say, or people in Nolensville or all around say, "I can't stand country music." People that grew up here, I don't know how they survived growing up here, but that's okay. They don't have to. But one song that I think I got the message to is "Holes in the Floor of Heaven." And it's a song that is about someone who has died and gone to heaven and is looking back on those who are still here, on loved ones who are still here. And they're, the idea is that you need to be as good as you can because grandma's gone to heaven or somebody's gone to heaven and looking back through the holes in the floor of heaven. Now, how theologically sound that is, I think we could question that, being theologically sound. But it's a beautiful song anyway. It's a good thought, whether it's people can see back to earth from heaven. I like to think that they can, but I'm not sure that the Bible teaches that. If they look back and saw all the bad that was going on, there would certainly be some tears. And we'll learn in just a moment, if you don't already know, there are no tears in heaven. This message is not about somebody looking back from heaven to earth, or even somebody being in heaven, but it's about somebody being on earth and getting a glimpse
of heaven. And that's all we can get from this view. We can just get a glimpse of heaven. You know, Moses wanted to see God face to face. But we might want to see heaven in all its fullness. It's not going to happen until we get there. Moses could not get a face-to-face view of God because, one, he couldn't have stood it. It would have killed him. It would have been so much just going up to the mountain and receiving the Ten Commandments and the other commandments that supported these, or the explanation of these, or the fulfillment of these. He came down and his face was such a glowing presence. He had such a glowing presence that people couldn't stand to look at him and put a veil over his face. When he finally got a glimpse of God, it was only God's backside. The back of God, as God departed from him. So this is an earthly view, earthly experience, looking to heaven, and all we get is a glimpse. I don't have any first-hand knowledge of heaven. Do any of you? Have you been? We don't have first-hand knowledge. I don't. You don't. But somewhere along the way, I learned that there were two reasons, at least two reasons, that qualified you to speak on a subject. One is having experienced it. If you experience something, you can talk about it. The other is if you have done the proper research. Well, the research is right before you. The Bible tells us something about heaven. So I take the authority of the Bible to be in the true Word of God, and we can believe it. I've based my life on it, lived by it for these years, and so I come not from first-hand experience, but from having researched it at least a bit. Jesus said about heaven that he was going to prepare a place for us. But he said that heaven was for those who trusted in him, those who believed in him, especially those 12 that were with him, but not limited to that, because he taught them to go out and bring others in. He said that he'd go and prepare a place, and then he'd come back and get us and take us to be with him, so that where he was, that we might be also. That's John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, the first few verses. The Apostle Paul also spoke of heaven, and it appears to me that Paul had somewhat of a death wish, or he wanted to get on to heaven. And First and Second Corinthians 4 and 5, ending chapter 4 and beginning with chapter 5, he talks about heaven and refers to it, or speaks of his anticipation. And he speaks of it, of being at home with the Lord. Also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, a passage that I use most every committal service that I am the officiant at a funeral, the committal service, I turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Not all of them, but most of them. And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul speaks of the resurrected body. And then we learn of Jesus ascending to heaven in the book of Acts chapter 1. The passages that we have chosen today from the book of Revelation are all about heaven. But don't limit your study of heaven just to these passages. We just have so much room, or maybe so much paper to print on, though we did leave a blank sheet today, but so much room, and you will only take home and study so much. This is the revelation of John. We call him St. John the Evangelist, or St. John the Beloved, or the Beloved Disciple. And St. John was banished to the Isle of Patmos for his Christian life and his Christian preaching, and while he was there, God revealed some things to him, or God gave him a vision, or he had a vision. And in John's vision of heaven, again I say, we only get just a glimpse of what heaven is like and what it's like in heaven. Chapter 21 we chose for our scripture lesson, and Mary Jo said that was familiar. That's what I was going to say. You stole my thunder there, I guess. That's okay. That was affirmation. To us who have been to a lot of funerals, at least, We have heard over and over this Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 6, and a description of heaven.
Okay? And it is familiar to me, at least, if that's the phrase I put in, and it's familiar to Mary Jo, and it's probably familiar to you if you've gone to too many funerals. But if you'll take your outline, and on the same sheet, we tried to get all of the scripture lessons this morning. Take your outline, and we learn from these passages something about heaven. We've got Revelation 5, 11 to 14 up here. In heaven, verse 11 Revelation 5, verse 11, you might want to put a note in your outline if you're real interested, or you go down and mark it right under there. Verse 11 talks about angels. There are angels in heaven. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels. How many angels? Thousands upon thousands. Thousands upon thousands of angels. And 10,000 times 10,000. A bunch of angels in heaven. And they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders, etc., etc., etc. In Revelation, there's going to be a lot of worship. People that can't worship in this life, they're going to be out of place in heaven, unless they have a change of heart. People that can't sing worshipful songs and can't tolerate coming to church and being with other people around the throne of God, they're going to be out of place in heaven. So I'm preaching to the choir. Yes. But need to be aware of this and tell people, well, if you want to get ready for heaven,
this life here is a getting ready time to get to heaven. There's going to be some worship around the throne of God. And you can look at verse 14. We're going to be worshiping God the Father, the one on the throne, and the Lamb, or Jesus. We'll be worshiping God the Father and Jesus. Verse 12, there's going to be some singing. Now, I keep trying to sing, and I don't sing very well. And people that stand close to me know that. And I keep harping on this, and it's a confession, and I keep apologizing for it. But I keep a singing, even into the microphone, sometimes, because I know I've got to be able to sing in heaven. And hopefully God will give me a new voice, and I'll be able to sing beautiful like Jerry does, like Mike does. Thank you, Mike. Mike sat in the pew and wouldn't come to the choir for about 15 years, 12 years, and he finally got to the choir. And thank you, Mike. Okay. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. But use the microphone where we can record you and share it with other people. Okay. That's high-tech stuff. We've got a high-tech stuff. We've got to have it. We've got to pass charity around the world. There'll be singing to Jesus, verse 13, be singing to Jesus and about Jesus. Okay, Revelation 7, a revelation, I keep putting, say there's not an S on it, but I keep doing it. Did it just then. Revelation 7, 9 through 17. In verse 9, you'll find that there's not only be a lot of angels in heaven, there's going to be a lot of people in heaven. Just straight as the gate and narrow as the way, few that enter therein. But that few, in God's eyes, that's many, many, many people. The many people, what are they doing in heaven? They're not out earning a living. They're not just hanging out. What are they doing? Good to hang out, but they're worshiping. Worshiping. Verse 10, verse 11, and verse 12 of Revelation 7. It's a time of experience. Or it's a time of experiencing a blessing. It's an experience of receiving a lot of blessing. In verse 15 and 16 and 17, if I can get there, I'd just like to read that. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night. And who sits on the throne will spread His tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor the scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So it's not only in the 21st chapter about wiping the tears away, God wiping the tears away, there'll be no more crying. It's in the 7th chapter also. Revelation 21, verse 6, 1 through 6. It's a new Jerusalem coming down out of the clouds like a bride adorned for her husband. And Jesus is the groom. We are the bride. The church is the bride of the new Jerusalem.
and it's the spirit of a groom and a bride. Beautiful life in verse 4 of Revelation 21. All things will be made new in verse 5. And then you turn to Revelation 21:10 and read through 22:5. Let me say, don't limit yourself to these passages. These are, read verses before and the verses after. And there are other places that you can learn about heaven. But these are, for this morning, we were using these. A physical description of heaven. The glory of God will be there. Now, what is that? Can we stand that? In heaven, we'll be so transformed in a new body that we'll be able to experience the glory of God. Verse 11. Verse 11 also talks about there'll be a lot of jewels in heaven, and it names the different stones that will be decorating heaven. Verse 12 tells us of a wall there, and gates, kind of like the old city of Jerusalem. Then verse 15 tells us again about angels, and then verse 22, verse 1, I think, talks about water. And then it's verse 16 talks about it being square. So many square. Now, what it's like, do we want to go there? Do we want to go there? Are we going to be able to go there? I'm like Paul. I joined Paul in wanting to go to that place that Jesus has prepared for me and for all others who believe in Him. How do we get there? Jesus says no one comes to the Father except through Him, through Jesus, by trusting in Jesus and serving Him as our Lord. We're going to sing a song. It's 551. Soon and very soon. That's a celebration song. We're going to heaven soon and very soon. Jesus is going to come again and take us there. But maybe someone here today needs to express their trust or their faith in Jesus. Make public their commitment to Jesus. And come forward and open their heart and invite Jesus into their life. Let's stand together and sing. Soon and very soon, and we'll let sound choose the number of the person who can live by. Julie, will you come and keep us going?
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King.